it's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 669 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. This week, Sam Johnson, creator of both Geek Girl and Cabracini, is back. He's having these two characters team up in a new three-part crossover, the first two chapters now available through Kickstarter. Sam is a favorite here at the podcast, and he's best known for developing Geek Girl, Cabracini Voodoo Junkie Hitwoman, and The Almighties, that last one with Mike Gagnon. Here's this book's description. Superheroes meet weirdness in the Geek Girl, Cabracini Voodoo Junkie Hitwoman crossover. We talk about how this crossover came to be, who the various characters are, and what else Sam will be up to in the months ahead. While this project has already met its goal, they would appreciate your continued support before it concludes on Thursday, December 19 at 12 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm sure you're going to enjoy what Sam has to say. There is a lot to get to in this episode, so let's get on with the show. Drug dealer Jacob Trencher has been robbed, shot, and left for dead. But using his occult magic, he has survived and hired voodoo junkie hitwoman Cabracini to find the person responsible and take care of things, which is going to put Cabra on a collision course with Geek Girl, as she is a member of her new super team. And I'm talking again with creator Sam Johnson. How you doing, Sam?
I'm all right. How are you, Wayne?
It's good to talk with you now. What's going on is you've got a Kickstarter, Cabracini / Geek Girl Exodus, as it's called. And there's good news already. You met your goal within 24 hours, right?
Yeah, it funded. That's the fastest funding one yet.
Wow, how about that? Let's see. The goal is, of course, it's translated into American dollars for $1,517. And this project will only be funded if it reaches its goal by Thursday, December 19 at 12 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So let's see. You're way past your goal of $1,500. And so there's all kinds of good things going on with that. Do you have stretch goals in mind already, Sam?
Yeah, we're gonna be getting into that soon, not giving anything away on it just yet.
Okay, sounds good. So there's some pages on there on the if you go to Kickstarter again, like I said, Cabracini / Geek Girl Exodus. And of course, you got to remember there's a hyphen in Geek Girl.
There's an easier link, which is geekgirlcomics.com, which is usually the Geek Girl site. But is currently rerouting to the Kickstarter.
Cool. Okay, very good. So why don't you, in case there's people who may not know who these characters are, who's Cabracini and who is Geek Girl?
Okay, so Geek Girl is, as you and I have discussed once or twice before, is a hot popular college chick that landed a pair of super tech glasses. The initial effect of them, not used to the super strength, they gave her, she was super klutzy, alienating her, cool kid click, with the exception of her BFF Summer, who was behind her, kind of pushed her into becoming a superhero. She's got a handle on her powers. She's now part of a super team. Now, where Cabracini comes into play is a member of her super team is the one responsible for shooting and leaving for dead the drug dealer that you mentioned earlier and stealing all his money. So this guy has hired Cabracini, who is an ex-hooker turned supernatural gun for hire, to find this guy and deal with him and get his money back.
Right. So this is where they're gonna clash.
Yeah.
Good things. Now, one thing I noticed right away is that some of the issues have a different title for Cabracini. She's Interdimensional Hitwoman. as well. Is that what's the deal with that?
Well, interdimensional is basically referring to a dimension that she uses, which she is utilizing in this crossover called the Infinite, which is Limbo's quote-unquote crazy cars unlocked away in the attic. Using her bastardized voodoo magic, she can open a portal there, which will then lead to an exit portal that will directly lead to whoever her target is. However, the ruler of the Infinite, the Rook, does not like her using his dimension, using and abusing it in this way, so he throws things at her to dissuade her, to put it mildly, physically and psychologically. And in this instance, he's really had enough of her, so he's really going for it.
Wow, okay. Now, you made available to me, there was a Zero issue that I got to read for Cappuccini. And you make some real clear differences between the two characters, which I really liked. Talk about what difference there is between the two of them.
Well, Geek Girl is you know, it's, as I say, like, cool kid, gets these superpowers. She's basically a kind of an it girl that's grown into this superheroine. So she's lived the kind of quite a sort of privileged, for want of a better term, easy lifestyle, partying with her girlfriends. Cappuccini's an ex-hooker whose boyfriend was also her pimp and abused her. And what kind of triggered her transformation into this supernatural hit woman was utilizing voodoo to stop her boyfriend, which didn't quite work out, and in the basically putting her life on the line trying to fight back against him, the only way she could save herself was shooting him. And she quite liked the combination of voodoo and guns. So quite a distinction between the two there.
Yeah, she's Geek Girl is quite the, I guess, better cultured person. You know, she can stand and talk in front of groups and stuff like that, as we get to see. And then, as we said, like Cappuccini, if she doesn't find what she wants in a convenience store, she's not really happy.
No, I think you're referring to the bit in the Voodoo Junkie Hit Woman Zero issue that, like, sets up the crossover where, like, the teller's either has shortchanged her or she thinks he's shortchanged her and she's not happy about this, so pulls a gun on him to get the right change.
Yeah, sure. I guess it's something that we get sometimes at convenience stores. They don't necessarily, they're not the most accurate, shall we say. Of course, she's also smoking.
She's also walking around the supermarket smoking a cigarette, which last time I checked is frowned on.
Yeah. Some places that's illegal.
Exactly. But she doesn't care. She doesn't care. With what she's been through, she's just like, I don't think I can swear on this show, can I?
I guess you can.
Well, let's. It's what I'm used to is not, so we'll refrain from that. But she doesn't give a insert word.
Okay. All right. So it's interesting. Now, one of the things on the pages that are on the Kickstarter is, we get to see a little bit about she encounters, Cappuccini encounters somebody from her past, shall we say, which I find really interesting. And so talk about that a little bit, because she is, she's got a grudge to settle with somebody. So does she get to do that in the series?
So again, are you talking about what's in the Zero issue?
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is like one of the ways that the Rook has tried to mess with her and put her off using the infinite the way she does was basically having someone called Mr. Mashup, who can tap into people's minds and create a kind of vessel clone of whoever they most hate, which in this case was her boyfriend. So she got confronted with her boyfriend. This is ex-boyfriend who she killed. So that was a nice reunion for her. Obviously, she was dead. He's dead. So she's questioning the validity of it. But that was just one of the basically the Rook is out to do anything he can to stop her coming through this dimension. So something that's going on now is she has this mindscape which she can utilize to find out about her hits and find out where they are, see what they're about. Now, the Rook has kind of taken some sort of control of this mindscape. So where we find her now is she's kind of reliving her most traumatic episodes back to back as the Rook is making this happen by taking control of her mindscape.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So this is not going to go well, apparently.
Someone's going to get hurt. But what's going on as well as the preview of the crossover that's on the Kickstarter illustrates, the girlfriend or ex-girlfriend of the drug dealer who was shot, Jacob Trencher, is in a coma, and her spirit is in limbo, and the Rook has kind of taken a liking to her, and between them they've concocted this plan. Whereas the girl in question, Christina, her body is too damaged for her to, well, she's stuck in this coma. If they can break Carbogini, or the Rook can, both psychologically with the stuff I've alluded to and physically with attacks on her by the monsters and creatures of the infinite, if they can break her both physically and mentally, her soul will be vulnerable and can be exhumed and switched with Christina's. So Carver will end up in Christina's comatose body, and Christina will be free from that, being placed in Carver's body.
Hmm. Wow, that's kind of a nasty way of dealing with stuff. Wow.
Yeah, well, this is where the Rook is at the point where he's had enough of her. And he's found this, taken a liking to this Christina. So, two birds with one stone.
Wow, wow. Now, one of the characters that we haven't seen for a little while, at least I haven't seen, is Whiteout is involved. He's the one that actually killed the boyfriend, if I read this correctly, for Carpaccini's, what do you call it? The pimp? He's the one that killed that guy.
No, not her. Well, this was the pimp, the boyfriend is who she killed some time ago. What you're referring to here is Cabra, when once she became Cabra and freed herself from this horrible lifestyle that she was living. This was like her new guy. Who was a good friend, and they got closer, and then they got together, and Whiteout, being an insane neo-Nazi, shot him, and this is one of the things that the Rook is making Cabra relive in the landscape.
Gotcha. Okay. Wow. Wow. Okay. Now, there's something I got to get to here because Summer is one of my very favorite characters.
Yes.
And she apparently has some changes going on. What can you tell us about that?
So what's going on with Summer, who's Geek Girl's BFF and has been an integral part of the Geek Girl series since the start? As I say, she kind of pushed Geek Girl into becoming a superhero. She stood in for Geek Girl briefly when Ruby was in a coma after a battle before she came out of it. And she liked it. She got a taste for it. Now, this super team that's been set up as it was coming together, someone pulled out because it was too dangerous for them, which is, you know, if you can't handle danger, you're maybe not cut out to be a superhero. But that left a vacancy. So Summer has wanted to fill that vacancy, but she's doesn't have her own powers. She was filling in using Geek Girl's super tech glasses. Mm-hmm. But Johnny Carlisle, who is behind this formation of this super team, the kind of businessman behind it, has put her on to someone called Mr. Phenomenal, who has set her up with, has introduced her to two characters who, with a third person from a power sharing unit called the Hive. One of them has got like telekinetic powers. The other can manipulate glass. So you combine those two powers, you get a bit of glass, shatter it, firing shards of glass about, and Summer can fight. So the idea, she's met them to sort of screen them because Mr. Phenomenal was like, you need to meet these people before you sign up. So she's met them and they're, dubious characters. But Summer really wants this super power thing and wants to use this joint shared power with the Hive to become the final member of Geek Girl's team. The shared power aspect would mean she also helps the other members of the Hive, which are Pete the Pimp and Glassy Lady, with whatever it is they use their powers for, which may not be the most moralistic, but that's for Summer to find out. But her initial impression of them was, but she really wants to be a superhero, so she's signed up for this. And her costume, superhero costume, makes its debut in the crossover.
Right, which you can see on the Kickstarter page.
Yeah, on the because the what's basically the crossover. There's the stuff that comes before it that's available, but you've got like the prelude, which is, as we mentioned, Cara Bracini, Interdimensional Hitwoman Zero, and then you've got parts one and two in Cara, Geek Girl, Exodus One, and the latest issue of Geek Girl, which is Geek Girl 16.
Okay, now where's the third part going to be? Now that you bring that up, how's this going to conclude?
The third and final part will be in the next Kickstarter.
Okay, so it'll be its own book.
Well, it's part three of the crossover. It'll be the Geek Girl 17 is part two. It'll be Geek Girl 16 is part two. Part three will be in Geek Girl 17.
Okay, so that'll be coming in the next Kickstarter. Okay, so that's good. Does Summer have a superhero name?
She hasn't come up with one yet. She just got as far as the costume. But things are going to, as is my want with this series, things, I like to keep things unpredictable. So things will unfold with the superheroine aspect during this crossover. And can't really say any more than that.
Okay, all right, because she's got this yellow and black outfit.
Yeah, which is because of the Hive. So it's just to sort of capitalize on that name. The other two don't wear superhero costumes, and the Glassy Lady thinks it's a little bit silly that Summer is even, when they met, was even talking about designing a costume. But Summer is really into this superhero thing. She's passionate about it. So she is a potential genuine heroine. However, the people she's sharing her powers with are less so.
Okay, so she's got a conflict to work out there.
It's not as far as saying making a deal with the devil, but there's a reason the guy that put her onto this Hive power setup wanted her to meet these first so that she could see what they're like before signing up.
Now, she apparently transports into the headquarters, right?
Yeah, well, that's just, that's not a power. That's just like a setup of Geek Girl's HQ. Geek Girl has a swipe card that they get in and out through a portal.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, so that's interesting. Yeah, now I say the hive, that makes her costume make sense. It looks almost like a bee.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that makes a lot of sense. I was wondering, is she going to be Bee Girl or something like that?
Yeah, well, there's names being brainstormed, but we haven't got there yet. But as I say, there's something coming that may, yeah.
Okay. All right, something for the to look forward to.
It will happen during this crossover.
Okay, it'll be good. Now, what's the name of the team? Have they come up with a name for the team?
No, I mean, this whole team thing is like, well, it's kind of unofficially, it's Team Geek Girl. The arc that introduced it was the third trade paperback, which was called Team Geek Girl. But they haven't come in. The team has not fully come together. Basically, where we come in on this crossover is they're about to start their training, and Summer, the day before, has been getting hold of these superpowers so she can join the team. So where we come in the crossover is kind of like their day one as an official team, where they begin their training.
Okay.
But then here comes Carbaccini.
Mm. Now, I haven't, of course, we haven't seen the books yet, but how do they cross paths? I mean, basically, we haven't seen that part in the preview. So I'm just kind of curious, what can you tell us about that? Or is there anything you can tell us at this point?
Well, the intention is that as there is like a panel in the preview that shows this, where the member of her super team, Carbara, has established her own mindscape, who he is and where he is. So she's opened a portal to the infinite, which will then create a subsequent portal that she has to travel from one to the other to exit through this portal, which will take her directly to him, which is in Geek Girl's HQ. However, as she's trying to do that, we've got the Rook throwing everything at her with the intention of removing her soul from her body, putting her in a coma, and Christina taking over.
Okay. Now, the thing that's interesting to me, of course, whenever you have team-ups and crossovers and stuff, usually the two characters they're doing the crossing over don't like each other initially, but then they later on come to like each other and become friends and partners and stuff. Is this going to follow that pattern?
Well, as you say, that tends to be this kind of typical route that's taken. However, the amazing Superman and Batman moment in that film, they were united by having the same mom's name.
Mm-hmm.
There's not really a connection there. There's not really a similarity for Carbara and Geek Girl to come together. And her target is a member of Geek Girl's super team. So that's a bit of a tricky one.
Now, one question I want to get answered to is, why is it called Exodus?
Exodus, well, to completely reveal that, would be a massive, massive spoiler.
Oh, okay.
But basically, there's a meaning to it, and Carbara and Geek Girl at the end of this crossover will be changed, and you'll see what that word entails.
Okay, all right, something interesting. So again, we got to read the book. But the good news is, as we said at the beginning, you've already met your goal. In fact, you're almost twice, as we're recording this, almost twice as far along with that. So there's good news and lots of expectant people for looking to the future of these characters to see how good all the good reading we can do. So let's talk about the books itself. Now, you've got the Carbaccini Geek Girl Exodus, and then you've got Geek Girl number 16. How far along are those issues? Are they getting ready for the delivery, or are they still being worked on?
They're still being worked on. I mean, the Exodus, about two-thirds of the artwork's done. Geek Girl, the bulk of the roughs are done, but they're not. The delivery for these is not till well, projected delivery is not till May next year.
Well, it's getting to the end of the year, so that makes sense that you got to start planning for 2025. So
yeah,
that would be nice. So will they come together if you order them on here? So they will. Okay, so that's good to know.
I mean, I try to, when I do Kickstarters, have two issues up at a time because, I mean, if you're ordering digitally, it doesn't make any difference, but international shipping can be expensive, and the cost of sending two comic books versus the cost of sending one, there's not a great deal of difference in it. So you're getting a much better deal in terms of the shipping rate if you're getting two issues together. So I always try and do that.
Okay, well, that's very convenient and thoughtful to have that happen that way, because that makes a difference. Now, of course, I got to ask a question. These things always get me. Is Cabracini going to join Geek Girls team?
You're asking some questions there that any answer would be spoilerific.
Okay, so we got to read the book, in other words.
Possibly comment.
Oh, we got to read the book. Okay, so that answers that.
It would be a difficult fit.
Okay.
Especially as the intro is that, as I say, she's out to kill one of Carver's teammates.
Yikes. Okay, so that doesn't make for a good teammate.
It's a bit of friction, possibly.
Yeah. So that'll be something. Now, talk about the artwork. I said the artwork is a little different, and the Geek Girl team is different from the Cabracini team.
Yeah. So they're basically, Cabracini has had a couple of one shots and a four issue miniseries. Now, various artists have been involved in that, but Fernando Melick has been involved more or less from the start. So he's kind of like the main Carver artist, I would say. So he's the one illustrating the Exodus 1. And then Geek Girl, issue 16, part 2 of the Exodus, is the usual Geek Girl team of C. Grander on art, and Chun Lin Zhao on colors, doing their usual great job. And Chun Lin is also coloring the Exodus 1.
Okay, so that'll kind of help the art styles blend together over the crossover.
Yeah, I mean, they are different art styles, and that kind of works with the different feels of the character. So in issue one, it's very Carver-centric. Geek Girl is in it, but when we get to the issue of Geek Girl, it's much more Geek Girl, and that's where C. Grander comes in.
Okay, very good. What was it like to coordinate the two art teams? I mean, did you have to have the scripts ready ahead so that the art teams could work on their separate issues?
Not really. I mean, what Grander has done is basically he's been working on, for the Geek Girl issue, he's been working on all the Geek Girl scenes, and then he's done those all in rough, and by the time he's finished them, all the artwork more or less will be done from Geek Girl, from Exodus 1 by Fernando, so he'll have all that as reference for the Carver scenes.
Okay, that'll be great. That's why the Geek Girl scenes look very consistent from book to book.
Yeah. I mean, he's great. And he really, I always say, he really brings out, you know, everyone looks distinct, because there's a lot of female characters in Geek Girl. And he's great with bringing out the body language and facial expressions. He brings a lot to it. So he's the Geek Girl artist.
Oh, great. Now, let's see. As far as what you can order, the number one level is the Exodus number 1 and Geek Girl number 16. I guess that's the print editions.
Let's have a look myself. Yeah, the print reward 1 is the regular print editions. Reward 2 is the digital. And then rewards 3 and 4 the same again, but with the prelude to the crossover, which is Cabracini into the Minchal Hit 1-0.
Mm-hmm. Now, I've got to ask you something, because this is your 15th or 16th Kickstarter?
I believe it is the 15th. Yeah.
Wow.
That's crazy. How I got to 15, that time's flown. I don't know how. It does not seem like I've done 15, but here we are. Yeah, everyone's funded. So, and as we know, this one's already funded, so there's no concerns about you getting your comics.
Well, you're an expert by now. I mean, as far as getting these good things done, I'm just fascinated by the kicks, because a lot of people have told me that during this season, it's kind of tough to run a Kickstarter, but you're obviously bucking that trend that people told me, because you met your goal within the first 24 hours. And as we said before, it's going to reach its it'll be funded if it reaches its goal, which it already has, by Thursday, December 19 at 12 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And that is, that's a lot of good. See, right there, because so many people have told me December is not a time to run a Kickstarter because people are busy with holiday shopping and other stuff like that. But your thing is running against that trend. I mean, is that do you normally run like Kickstarters during holiday times and stuff, or is this kind of your first time doing that?
I've run October through November before. I wouldn't choose to launch in December, but the Kickstarter has been launched since November the 21st. So, but I mean, comics launch with an ex, a group that I'm a part of that Tyler James runs, that's all about Kickstarters and how to do Kickstarters. He's referenced someone launching on Christmas Day and it worked. So his thing is basically, if you're ready and your audience is ready, then whenever you do it, it can succeed. But yes, I wouldn't launch personally launch in December, because once you get into the Christmas period, for me, well, you've got a lot of contrasting things fighting for people's interests. And money.
Right, because there's all kinds of holiday buying and gift giving and things like that, which you've got to take care of and stuff like that. So that's a lot of stuff. So you started in November, so that was you think that was a good thing rather than in December?
I've not tried launching in December, and we'll see, how this one ends up with, as we speak, we're just going into December. And there are still over 2 weeks left. So this will be my first experience of running one during December. So as far as the November launch has gone, then that's gone well. As far as what will happen in December, we shall see.
Do you have an estimation as to when that concluding Kickstarter for this team up will take place? Do you have some place that you prefer it run?
In terms of a date generally I tend to launch like whenabouts the issues have been received from the previous one. So if these go out, the latest they will be going out is May. So if they go out in May, then the likelihood would be we launch the next one in June. But as I say, we've made some good progress with the artwork, so it is possible that though the estimated send out is May, it's possible that it will be sooner than that, in which case the subsequent Kickstarter may also follow it sooner.
Okay, very good, very good. Well, you've obviously got all this good stuff organized and ready to go, which a lot of Kickstarter people don't, so it's always encouraging when I hear those kinds of good things. I always tell the story, I recently got in the mail a Kickstarter stuff that I ordered like 5 years ago, and all of a sudden it showed up and I was like, wow, I kind of remember this thing,
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, Geek Girl is an ongoing series, so it wouldn't really work to take 5 years to deliver an issue, because that would be 5 years before the next issue comes out. So, and we've got a solid consistent creative team that deliver. You know, it's an ongoing series. So yeah, and it's okay, important to me to, you know, maybe we've not, there's been occasions where if say it's been projected to go out in December, it's gone out maybe in January, but we keep people informed. Delays do happen, but we're always, you know, in the you know, ballpark, for want of a better term, of when it's was intended to go out. I mean, we work out in advance how long it's going to take to get stuff done, but obviously things in life happen. But yeah, it's important to me to, you know, deliver it at a reasonable time.
Okay. Well, let me ask you something, because as far as Marcosia goes, as far as like printing and stuff like that, I'm not, of course, we want people to go through the Kickstarter because that's the best way to do it. Does Marcosia print the books like a certain amount of time after they've been fulfilled on the Kickstarter, or how's that work?
Yeah, so you get, if you back on Kickstarter, you get the books before they go on general release. So the last Kickstarter was for the final parts of the Identity Crisis art, which were issues 13 to 15. So those have been sent out to the backers, and issue 14 has just come out on general release, which you can get at Comixology. So yeah, as issue 14 has come out, the Kickstarter backers already have 15, which will then go on general release at the beginning of January. So you get it. I mean, that's part of what you're getting is, you know, by backing Kickstarter, you're getting them in advance.
Good. Well, that's good, because it looks like it's going to be good storytelling. I have to ask, who did that top illustration on Kickstarter page where you kind of have Cappuccini and Geek Girl facing each other? Who did that?
It's a very nice image. This is it's adjoining covers that are for the limited variant edition. And it's Flynn Douglas, again with Chun Lin Zhao coloring. Flynn's worked on a few limited variant covers for both series now, and he always smashes it, and really, really pleased with this image. It's yeah, and you can get it in like the limited variants, as I say, adjoining covers, so that as you look at the Kickstarter image, the left side is the limited variant cover to the Exodus 1 and the right side is the limited variant cover to 16, and you can get them in limited version editions with just the artwork as well. Yeah, very pleased with what Flynn's done there, and what Chun Lin's done as well, where we're like in the center of it, you've got like the, you referred to Geek Girl's HQ portal, and you've got that, and then you've got it adjoining Cabra's portal to the infinite, so it makes for a great crossover image with these sort of combined portals, which is partly what Chun Lin, I didn't specify that was what was happening, and that's what Chun Lin brought to it, and it looks great.
Hey, this is something. I really like the illustration. Now, I've got to ask, just because I'm curious about these kinds of things, Geek Girl is Caucasian, and obviously she's got, you know, whiter skin. What nationality or race is Cappuccini? Because she's got more like olive-colored skin.
Yeah, well, she was originally from Spain. She's moved around a bit and ended up in America. But yeah, originally from Spain.
Okay, so that answers that question for me, because I'm always curious as to why things are the way they are, and so that solves that for me. So this is just sounds like it's going to be another great story. The Identity Crisis really got me on the crazy stuff on that going on. And what was the reaction to that story? Because that was kind of, somebody takes basically, poor Ruby is she goes into a coma, and then somebody takes over for her and stuff. She really has to suffer as a superhero. So what was the reaction to the Identity storyline?
Yeah, I mean, it's gone down well. I've not got, because of it not being, the conclusion of it is issue 15, which isn't actually out yet. So I've not had any reviews of that yet. 14 has just officially come out, so I'll be getting reviews of that. So I know it's been well received, but in terms of like Kickstarter backers, for the most part, will have only just received 15. And as I say, it doesn't go on general release until January. So in terms of what the conclusion is, I've not had any feedback on the reception to that as yet, but I'm very pleased with it. And it kind of sets things up for where Geek Girl is in this crossover, because there's a twist to it in terms of like, basically what has happened is Identity Thief, if someone hits them, they can strip, in this case, Geek Girl of her looks. And if again, watching for spoilers, but like when we meet Identity Thief, they're fighting Pitbull, and because Pitbull hits them, they take Pitbull looks and powers, leaving Pitbull a shriveled shell of himself. So something similar happens to Geek Girl. However, it's not quite the same, because whereas Pitbull's powers are innate, Geek Girl's come from her Super Tech glasses. So Identity Thief gets her looks, steals her looks, leaving Ruby K, Geek Girl, a withered shell, but doesn't get the powers, seemingly. But then there's a twist to that that comes up during the arc.
Okay, so something to look forward to reading. And you say that one's going to be a January, we're going to see that issue?
Yeah, so, I mean, you can get on, like, on the Kickstarter, in the add-on section, you can get all the previous trades and the Identity Crisis arc as individual issues, that being the latest Geek Girl arc. So all of that's available on the Kickstarter as well.
Oh, cool. Very good. So in case somebody is behind on that, they can catch up on those good things. Very good. So it sounds like you've got a future for Geek Girl for years ahead and all kinds of storylines ahead. Is that the case?
Yeah. I mean, if the audience is there, I'm always, you know, building the audience. The independent comic market is a difficult game. The team, the creative team, you know, have been on involved. The artist, letterer, colorist, I'm involved in almost every issue of it. I love it still, as am I. So there are plans, and this crossover is something that's we've been building for some time. And as I say, things will change for both characters by the climax of this, and we'll see where we go from there.
Well, based on the success of this one, which it already is, I would say the future for Geek Girl and both Cappuccini is very bright, because there's a lot of support out there, which is something you've been building for several years. So it looks like it's just going to continue.
Well, I hope so. I mean, I'm invested in these characters and have big plans. There's a lot of things that are being set up in Geek Girl, and I'm interested, as hopefully people will be, to see what happens with Summer as part of the Hive.
Okay. Now, the thing I'm kind of interested in too, I enjoyed, you did a crossover with Mike Gagnon called The Almighties.
Yeah.
And is there any more of that coming, or is that pretty much that story's been told?
We did two one shots. There is a third one shot that's basically illustrated, but only illustrated, so not colored or lettered. So it's kind of a timing thing, because there is this shared universe, like Joe Cyborg, who was kind of the man that put the Almighties together, is involved in Geek Girl's team. When, as I say, they're about to start their training, he is kind of running that show. So there's a kind of continuity question of when the timing fits for the Almighties to come out. And also, as I say, there's a lot, though the artwork's done, that's all that's done. So there's a lot to do with that. But there is, yeah, as I said, the art is done. There is a third one. So timing being right, that will hopefully materialize.
We got to coordinate these universes.
That's it.
Takes a little doing and stuff like that. So that's good. I'm imagining that Geek Girl and Cappuccini are going to keep you busy for a while, but are there other projects you're working on we should be aware of?
Well, at the moment, there's a question mark on whether the whole Hive summer thing will be part of the Geek Girl series or will be a spin-off into its own thing. So that's a possibility, but that's to be determined. Yeah, as I say, the way Summer thinks things are going to go with that and the way they end up going are two different things. So that will kind of determine what venue the Hive best falls into.
Okay, great. Now, if people want to keep up with what you're doing, how do they follow you on social media?
Well, if you search Sam Johnson on Facebook, if we've got any friends that are into comics, which we likely have, then it should be easy to find me as in Mutual Friends, the Geek Girl profile picture. Twitter, which I'm still calling it, is D.A. Sam Johnson. The Sam Johnson is my handle on that. There's also a geek underscore girl underscore comic, among others. Instagram, Sam Johnson Comics. As I say, should be fairly easy to find because we're probably, if you're into comics, which if you listen to this, I imagine you are, we've probably got mutual friends, so I should show up quite easily.
Okay, great. Now, what about conventions and stuff? Because the pandemic put a chill on all that. Mm-hmm. And I'm seeing a lot of people going back like that. You guys just had Thought Bubble over there.
Yeah, I kind of got out of it because of, you know, when it all fell apart because of the pandemic. And because Kickstarter has been such a big thing for me before and during and after that has been my focus, and this crossover has been a big thing that I've been building to, so it's something for me to look at getting back into. There's nothing, I haven't signed up for anything as yet, but it went away for, you know, due to the pandemic. Now it's back, so it's something I should really be looking at.
Have you ever thought about visiting the States and like going to New York or San Diego?
Yeah, I have done in the past. I mean, because I'm in the UK, the expense of it is high. And obviously doing the bigger conventions, just doing them is highly expensive as well. But it's something I'd like to do. But at the moment, the Kickstarter is the focus. Like, this is putting this together, I mean, the draft, the Exodus issue one is something that, like, I'm using stuff that goes back to before I even started getting things published, when I was, you know, still learning my craft. So there were things in it that, you know, not everything really worked because I didn't, you know, I hadn't done comics at that point. So I've done a lot of work on this has had more like drafts than anything I've ever written in order to make everything work now that I, you know what I'm doing, and also to fit into the Geek Girl universe, because the whole concept of what's going on with Cabra wasn't initially part of that, and then this thing that goes on with the Memberverse super team has enabled this crossover, so that there's a reason for Cabra to come into Geek Girl's world other than just so that they can fight.
Okay, well, I'm looking forward to that. I'm sure that'll be great, interesting things. And of course, I always like the way you write women and do female characters, because that's getting to be a bigger and bigger thing in comics. So you were ahead of that trend. So I'm just looking forward to how these good things are. So all I can say, Sam, is keep doing the wonderful stuff, and we'll be out there supporting you.
Thank you, Wayne.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, I'm flesh and blood. I can be ignored, I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
If you're enjoying this show, I would greatly appreciate your support. For $5 a month, you can ensure I'm able to bring you interviews with comic creators week after week. You can support this show by becoming a patron at patreon.com/majorspoilers. Check out that address, again, patreon.com/majorspoilers, for more information. Thanks in advance. And that's it for this week. Be back next time. We'll have another great interview with another terrific comics creator. But until then, keep reading your comics.